This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
The reason I'm prepared for this position is because I've been preparing for this all my life.
Our goal is to compete and really put a fun team on the court that really gets after it.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
We're very talented. I mean, when we go out there and compete at a high level and give a lot of effort, we can be a good team.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
A mixed bag of emotions as PJ Tucker, bittersweet, has finally been dealt to the Milwaukee Bucks, and happening just an hour or so before tip-off Rockets-Warriors, a game in which Christian Wood and Kevin Porter Jr. played for the very first time together. However, the Rockets did lose the game. Now, holding the longest losing streak in franchise history at 18 straight games. What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in the episode. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and partner at Apollo Media, all Houston, all original. Be sure to follow along on Twitter, at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as at Apollo HOU. Now, so this is how we're going to do this show. So I want to talk about the PJ Tucker trade first. I'll talk about the game itself, the Rockets-Warriors game, in segment two. Might mention a little bit of Rockets-Hawks, since I didn't get a chance, unfortunately, some personal stuff coming up and didn't have a chance to recap that one properly. And then segment three, we're actually going to have the first iteration of Locked On Rockets Film Room featuring yours truly, as well as Ali Kambijani. And this is a new thing that we're doing. So I mentioned it on here on this very show before, but this is a new thing that we're doing where once a week, Ali Khan and I are going to be hosting a room on the Locker Room app. And we're going to talk various topics, talk about specific players, specific plays, things that we're seeing inside the game, as well as interacting with you in the room. That's the cool thing about Locker Room. So I'm going to run some of that back in segment three because we hit on some really great topics with Kevin Porter Jr. and Christian Wood. So that'll be our segment three. But let's start things off with the breaking news, the important news. And that is PJ Tucker and him being dealt to the Milwaukee Bucks, which is ultimately kind of bittersweet. Look, Tucker's had a bit of a down year. I've done my fair share of complaining about him on this very podcast, but ultimately, he was a fan favorite player. You know, he was a huge part of this team for the past few seasons, and it's really disappointing to see him go as the Rockets are now down to Eric Gordon as the only remaining member of that 2017-2018 team that posted a franchise best 65 wins, the team that we all fell in love with, and it's just tough. Like, it just sucks. I was, you know, and I still am, I'm pretty down bad about the whole situation. It just, you know, it's starting to, like, the reality kind of starting to set in, but the Rockets ultimately got a pretty solid return for PJ Tucker. But, you know, from me to you listening to this and just to PJ Tucker, just putting it out in the universe, I will forever be grateful for everything he did as a Houston Rocket. I mean, all the sweat, all the blood, all the tears, all the clutch offensive rebounds. Like, I just, you know, the amazing defensive possessions, small ball PJ Tucker at center, just everything that he did was, you know, incredible for this team. And so I you know, again, it's bittersweet. That's the only way to put it, right? And there wasn't a whole lot of processing on this one. So, you know, it's kind of immediate and kind of just going through the feelings of it, you know, rather quickly, rather than having like the months and months of buildup like we did with the James Harden situation. So the deal itself, Houston is sending out PJ Tucker, Rodions Kurucs, and their second round draft pick in 2021, as well as Milwaukee's first round pick from 2022. All of that is going back to Milwaukee. And to clear it up, the Milwaukee first round pick that they have from 2022 was acquired by way of the James Harden trade originally from Cleveland. And Houston is receiving DJ Augustine, DJ Wilson, Milwaukee's 1 through 9 protected first round pick in 2021, and Milwaukee's completely unprotected first round draft pick in 2023. So essentially, the Rockets took PJ Tucker, a first round draft pick from Milwaukee, and their own second round draft pick, and turned him into 2 first round draft picks. The first of which, the one this year, is going to be a pretty late first, which for clarity's sake is technically a pick swap between the Rockets' second round draft pick this season and the Milwaukee Bucks' first round draft pick this season. Pretty much probably somewhere in the 25 to 30 range, more or less. But the unprotected one in 2023 is pretty huge, seeing as how that has the potential to be the double draft. So I really ultimately love this return for the Houston Rockets. I was kind of being a bit of a negative Nancy, thinking that they weren't going to get that much of a great return for PJ Tucker. I kind of thought that they were just going to walk away with like a second round draft pick or something. But then Trevor Ariza got dealt to the Miami Heat for a second round draft pick. And that kind of set the bar a little bit that if Trevor Ariza, who hadn't even played at all this season, was able to fetch a second round draft pick, then PJ Tucker, who is absolutely more serviceable than Trevor Ariza, was going to net you a lot more than that. And apparently, the reason the Heat decided to go the Trevor Ariza route is because the Rockets were very interested in KZ Opala and the Heat didn't want to give him up. So because of that, the Heat opted to go the Trevor Ariza route instead of the PJ Tucker route. They were in direct communication with the Rockets pretty consistently, but the Rockets maintained firm on their asking price. The Heat did not budge. So that's going to be hilarious if we look back at the Heat and if they say maybe they struggle, in one of the earlier playoff rounds against the Milwaukee Bucks, and lose to PJ Tucker and the Bucks, that would be hilarious. If they lose later on to James Harden and the Nets, that would be hilarious because the Heat have been in primo position to secure either of those guys. Now, how realistic was a Tyler Herro-centered package for James Harden? Maybe not. Maybe they wouldn't have been able to do it because at the end of the day, the draft compensation from the Brooklyn Nets was just overwhelmingly, in favor of Rafael Stone's favor of wanting to complete that deal with the Nets because he wanted the flexibility of the future draft capital. But it's still kind of funny that the Heat have found themselves in the mix of these rumors surrounding the Rockets now for not one, but 2 separate occasions, and haven't come away with one of the players that they're interested in. Now, I think that a really kind of underrated part of this trade is there's 2 bits that are kind of underrated to me. One is the Rockets have now offloaded Rodions Kurucs' contract, so that's pretty nice. And then 2, DJ Wilson is actually, has a chance to be, a special player. He's a young, big, I think he's shooting around like 35% from 3 this season. And apparently he's really good friends with Christian Wood as well. So there's a pre-existing relationship there, which is always nice to see. And he's a restricted free agent this summer. So the Rockets have a lot of control over him. And then DJ Augustine as well is a guy who has played for Steven Silas before, and if the Rockets do find that they need to move on from John Wall, it'll be nice to have a secondary ball handler to still, be backing up Kevin Porter Jr., to have on the roster. And he's, I believe Augustine is locked down for the following season, but then his 2022-23 season is not fully guaranteed, which is a nice kind of trade chip because it doesn't effectively make him a 1-year deal, but you know, it kind of makes him a semi-expiring deal going into this next season for trade purposes. So that's pretty nice. Overall, I think Rafael Stone, again, doing a masterclass in GMing, walking away, turning PJ Tucker and a second-round draft pick into two first-round draft picks is one hell of a spin, as well as a young prospect in DJ Wilson. So the Rockets held true to their word. They got back a young player on a rookie contract with some club control behind it, since DJ Wilson will be a restricted free agent. So credit to Rafael Stone. You tip your cap. He's doing... continuing to do an amazing job with this Rockets team. Now, with that said, I want to go ahead and get a moment to talk about the Rockets-Warriors game, as well as maybe a little bit from the Rockets-Hawks game, possibly. And we'll get there in just a moment after we talk about our Michelob Ultra Player of the Week, and how could it be anybody else other than Kevin Porter Jr.? Look, enjoyment isn't the end game, it's the whole game. And the only reason I'm still able to enjoy the Rockets right now is because of, you know, young guys, but mainly Kevin Porter Jr. You know, the young guys on the roster are so exciting, and Kevin Porter Jr. is very much at the forefront of that. And at the end of the day, you know, anything you do, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. And so the same way that I enjoy watching Kevin Porter Jr. play basketball and he enjoys being out there for the Houston Rockets, you can also enjoy something by checking out Michelob Ultra, 2.6 carbs and only 95 calories per can. You know, but as far as Kevin Porter Jr. goes and why he is the Michelob Ultra Player of the Week, he's out there bringing Rockets fans joy, right? You know, seeing him out there carving it up on a nightly basis, his electric play, he is a very, very much a bright spot for this team that has had a very rough season. You know, a lot of a turmoil in this Rockets season, for, you know, just to keep it plain and simple. And so to have this bright spot, to have somebody to look forward to grow, to watch develop, to see how his relationship blossoms, his chemistry with Christian Wood, it's exciting. It provides happiness, and it's the reason why I still enjoy watching the Rockets play basketball. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? Right now, the Rockets aren't doing much winning, but I still enjoy watching them play because of Kevin Porter Jr., which is why he is your Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. Quick message from our friends over at betonline.ag. Look, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. You can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's totally free to sign up. Head over to their website and sign up today using promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. Now I want to, so we're in here now, and I want to talk about the Rockets Warriors game a little bit, as well as the Rockets Hawks game, so the first game of the back-to-back, as well as the second game of the back-to-back. And ultimately, I really wanted them to win this game. Like, I know that we've been on hashtag, you know, collapse for Cade, fade for Cade, tank for Cade, whatever, you know, for a while now, but 17 straight losses, Christian Wood's first game back, his first game with Kevin Porter Jr. There was a lot in this game that I was kind of hoping, you know, emotionally, and it, look, it's the Warriors. It's always nice to beat the Warriors. There's three teams that I love beating no matter what, no matter the circumstances, and that's always going to be the Warriors, the Jazz, and the Mavericks. I don't even hate the Spurs the same way that I hate the Mavericks. Like, I would just, you know, but those three teams, like, at the top of the list for me. And so it just, even though ideally they want to continue, well, we want them to continue racking up losses to have the best shot at Cade Cunningham possible. You know, it just, I really wanted them to win this game. I thought it would have been a really great way to welcome Christian Wood back into the lineup. And they looked pretty competitive after one quarter. Like, after one quarter, even though they had a bit of a dry spell in that first frame, they looked relatively competitive. Like, things looked solid. They were really getting after it. But credit to the Warriors, whose defense, you know, became pretty smothering after that first quarter. And the Rockets only posting a 17-point quarter compared to the Golden State Warriors' 37 points in the second frame. So the Warriors took a pretty healthy, 14-point lead into halftime? Oh, no, that's no way more than that. 24-point lead into halftime. Math is hard. And, you know, they just kind of cruised from that point on, even though the Rockets did kind of dig back and they had a 27-18 third period. It just wasn't entirely enough to you know, overcome that deficit that they found themselves in. And it was another one of those, you know, the dry spell hit in the second quarter. And then on top of that, the Rockets were, their defense was pretty abysmal, honestly. I think a big part of that is, you know, when you're running a bunch of these rookies, a bunch of these G League guys out there, the defense has been pretty suspect. But Christian Wood, in his first game back with the Rockets, looked solid. 21 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, had a block, 8 of 12 shooting. Came back in and did exactly what he was doing pre-injury. The only thing he didn't do was hit a 3 in this game. He did cross the ever-living hell out of Draymond Green, which was such a great sight to see. That was a beautiful play, and I took the liberty of sticking a Twister poster underneath him because I absolutely had to. So that's on Twitter if you want to go laugh at that. Kevin Porter Jr. in this game as well had a really solid night. 25 points, 9 of 18 shooting, 3 of 9 from behind the arc. 4 of 8 from the free throw line, not great there. 4 rebounds, 7 assists, and 3 steals in this one. Really had, you know, was being active defensively in this game. We'll talk more about KPJ and Christian Wood in our third segment with Ali Kambijani, the Locked On Rockets film room, if you will, from Locker Room. But a couple standouts just of the negatives from this game. And it's, you know, again, it's hard for me to focus on too many negatives given the situation of the team, but I definitely think the free throw shooting in this one was so suboptimal. 21 of 40 from the free throw line for 52.5%. So it's not like the Rockets weren't getting their free throws. They had a 40-12 free throw advantage over the Warriors. So they were getting a very, very favorable whistle. They just were not converting on those free throws whatsoever. And so had they actually taken care of business at the free throw line, they might have found themselves in a position to potentially win this game. The three-point shooting also continues to be very perplexing for this Rockets team. Just 7 of 27, 25.9% on the evening. However, it's nice that they're not continuing to put up 35, 40, 45 plus 3-point attempts if their percentages are going to continue to struggle. Now, individuals in this game, there were a lot of guys that kind of had some subpar games in this one. Sterling Brown, really uninspiring performance, just 4 points, 1 of 7 shooting, 0 of 5 from behind the arc. Jay Sean Tate, who, again, on the defensive side of the ball and, you know, kind of the other elements besides him actually, you know, putting the ball in the bucket, pretty good. You know, consistently plays good defense, was rebounding pretty well, was playmaking a little bit, had 5 boards, 2 assists, 3 steals. But only 2 points on the evening. 1 of 9 shooting overall, 0 of 3 from behind the arc. Just a really rough go of it for Jay Sean Tate. Probably the first bad game that we've seen from him in a while, honestly. Anthony Lamb, who I'm just, if I'm being 100% honest, I'm done with the Anthony Lamb experience. Like, I'm just, I have kind of given up on seeing what he's got. You know, they keep touting him as a 3-point shooter and he just isn't able to make it work at this level, apparently. I don't know what his percentages are right now off the top of my head, but they're pretty rough. I think I've only seen him hit 1, maybe 2 3-pointers in a Rockets jersey. He did rebound the ball pretty well in this game, 9 boards. He had an assist, had a steal, had a block, but I don't necessarily think he's doing anything else at an elite enough level on either side of the ball to continue to play him over the likes of you know, some of the other guys that are on the roster as we get everybody back and healthy, unfortunately. And frankly, I'd like to see them, like, just throw that two-way contract back at Mason Jones, I guess, or, you know, float it to Armani Brooks, give him a chance. You know, Armani's a totally great shooter. Got to cover him in my time covering U of H basketball. So I'd love to see him get a shot in a Rockets jersey. He, you know, conceivably could be a really great shooting presence for this Rockets team, because the other shooting presence they have apparently has the yips in Mason Jones. Mason Jones, 1 of 8 shooting, 0 of 2 from behind the arc, also 4 of 8 from the free throw line, just 6 points overall in the evening. And it I don't know what it is, but it looks like Mason's confidence is just shot. I mean, there's so many opportunities that he gets the ball on the perimeter, hesitates to shoot, defense closes out on him, and he doesn't have the burst, he doesn't have the first step to get by seemingly anyone at this level. And what have I been saying for the longest about Mason Jones? My worry about him is his ability to create his own shot. And I'm down to hold on to him as a shooter because I think that if the Rockets utilize him that way, defensively, he's not like atrocious and he's still young and has time to improve on that side of the ball. But I don't see why they can't just hold on to him and not slot him in at one of the guard spots and just play him as like a small ball three or something, or just play him as a wing presence, right? So that he can be a shooter without having to necessarily match up with opposing teams' guards who are going to be too quick for him to beat off the dribble. So you match him up as a three, you know, he's 6'4", 6'5", give or take. So you match him up as a three and just keep him out there for his shooting presence exclusively and give him a chance to grow defensively. And I just, you know, I'm down to hold on to him in that regard, but I don't see him with a future as a guard in this league. I just don't. And maybe I'm going to be like, maybe this is a horrendous take. And like years from now, Mason Jones is going to be balling out, whether it be for the Rockets or another team. And we're going to like pull the receipt on this podcast and be like, Jackson, you're an idiot. And I would love to be proven wrong. I have said it time and time again. I will say it one more time for anybody who hasn't heard me say it yet. My favorite meal is crow. I love it when I'm wrong, especially about players in Rockets jerseys. But I don't think I'm wrong about Mason Jones on this one. I think I've seen enough of a sample size, and I don't think he's going to suddenly magically, you know, develop a first step or be able to beat guys off the dribble or create his own looks consistently overnight. And I don't even know if that's necessarily something that he's going to be able to develop over months and months or years and years. I just don't think he has the physical attributes necessary at this level as a guard to create his own opportunities against faster, quicker players. So that's me going in on Mason Jones a little bit. Shout out KJ Martin, who had another great game, 13 points, 9 boards, 5 of 7 from the floor, hit his only three-point attempt, and who had an absolute amazing throwdown, a potential dunk of the year candidate against John Collins in the Hawks game. Didn't get to talk about it. I should have gotten to talk about it. But damn, was that dunk nice. Like, I mean, I remember when it happened. It was exciting. It was amazing. KJ Martin, I have been totally blown away by what he's been able to do in this second half of the season with the Rockets. Really excited. He needs to be, whenever you're talking about the Rockets' young core, right? If you're talking about the Rockets' exciting young core, bright future, all that mess, you need to include KJ Martin in there. The Rockets have him under club control. The fact that they got him for, you know, cash considerations in the second round, I mean, it's amazing. So I'm loving KJ Martin. I think the G League was so important, so critical in kind of getting him up to speed as to what's going on at the NBA level. And reminder, he's only 19 years old, right? So you've got KJ, 19, KP is 20. You've got Christian Wood and Jayshon Tate, who are both 25. You know, a great, amazing young lineup for this Rockets team to look towards moving forward. And of course, we've still got the trade deadline, which is exactly 1 week away as you'll be listening to this podcast on a Thursday morning, Thursday afternoon. And so we're going to have you covered for all of that. I'm going to be doing a live trade deadline special as part of the Locked On Network. So we'll be hosting a show both right before the trade deadline as well as right after the trade deadline. I don't know when I'm going to be on there, but I'll be on there at some point on Thursday. And the Rockets are hopefully going to make some splashy moves and make a Victor Oladipo trade and, you know, have an exciting deadline deal. So definitely want to check that out. Don't want to miss out on that. But coming up, we've got our Locked On Rockets film room breakdown with Ali Kambijani. And we're going to get there in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, which doesn't exactly seem fair, right? On top of that, it's basically impossible to stock all the parts that you need in a traditional chain storefront, whereas rockauto.com, look, they've got everything that you need from, you know, engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even brand new carpet. So whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything, and I mean everything, that you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts parts available for your car or truck. And be sure, this is a really important part, be sure to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Quick message from our friends over at Built Bar. Look, we've been telling you about Built Bar for a while now. It's the amazing tasting protein bar. It's low cal, it's low sugar, high protein, high fiber. These bars are covered in 100% delicious chocolate. And we've been telling you about them for a while now. But now it's time to find out which Built Bar, out of all the amazing Built Bars, which Built Bar is the best Built Bar. It is time for Built Bar Madness. And today's matchup, we've got a good one for you here. It's going to be cookie dough chunk against salted caramel. Now, for me, I feel like cookie dough is going to be the odds-on winner here, but I'm actually going to lean salted caramel in this matchup. That's where I'm casting my vote, and you can cast your vote too. Just go to builtbar.com or go to @bar_built on Twitter to cast your vote. And remember to use promo code LOCKED15 when you're on their website, when you're re-up on your order. That's code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your very next order at builtbar.com. And be sure to check back to see who won today's matchup and who comes away as the best tasting protein bar. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Let's go ahead and dive straight into it. Here is our discussion on Locker Room with Ali Kambijani talking Kevin Porter Jr. and Christian Wood. The one thing that really has stood out to me about Kevin Porter Jr., I think you're kind of the same way, where obviously there's so much talent there and the scoring is going to come over time. But what has really stood out to me is his passing, is his playmaking ability. Going into tonight's game, he was averaging the ninth most potential assists since the All-Star break, hovering at right around, where did I have his number at? It's right over here. Let me refresh this page. There it is. He was hovering around 15 potential assists per game in the top 10 for potential assists and averaging 8.3 actual assists coming into tonight. Obviously, those numbers have changed a little bit after today's slate of games. But tell me what you're noticing about him and his gravity and how he's able to make the game easier for his teammates.
I think that's a great question. You know, I asked Steven Salas about this on Sunday. I wanted to learn more about why he chose or why the Rockets wanted him to become a primary ball handler, especially in the G League. And for me, I asked him, you know, what are those qualities you look for in a point guard? Because if we understand what Salas wants in a point guard, we can get a better idea of what to expect from a ball handler in the system. So there's three things that Salas looks for that he told me. He looks at ball handling, he looks at passing, and he looks at shot making. And if you have those three skills, I'll repeat them again, the threat of a shot, passing and ball handling. If you have those three things, you're able to be effective as a point guard in this system, because ultimately what he wants, no matter who the ball handler is, if it's a big or a small, he wants them to be able to make decisions, draw on the defense, and be able to play 2-on-1. If you draw on a defender or secondary defender as a ball handler, you've won, because then you are in the choice of making the right decision to find your teammates, whether it be a lob, whether it be a pass to the corner, all those different things. And I think that's, you know, where Kevin Porter Jr. will continue to develop. In terms of his ball handling, what the Rockets really like about him is him being able to get to where he wants on the floor. And then the passing is a big part of that, because he plays at such a good pace. He pushes the ball hard after makes and misses and gets them going in transition. And then he's also able to put defenders on his hip and be able to kind of lull them into creating advantage of where he wants. We saw that a lot tonight as well, where he got to certain spots on the floor and had some kind of unorthodox or, you know, tough shots, but they were basically him creating space away from his defender. So I think you're going to see that as long as he continues to make shots and also get into the paint and develop that chemistry with Christian Wood.
I think that, you know, we saw tonight a couple of connections between Kevin Porter Jr. and Christian Wood. Kevin Porter Jr. walking away from this game, even though it being a loss with the Rockets, now setting a franchise record 18 losses in a row. There's still bright spots to be able to take away from this. And Kevin Porter Jr. having himself a really solid all-around game, 25 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, shot 50% from the floor, 33% from behind the arc. You'd like to see a little bit better free throw shooting out of him. The entire team kind of struggling in this one, just 21 of 40 from the line, which is just really unacceptable at the NBA level, unfortunately. And Kevin Porter Jr. was 4 of 8 himself at the line. And I wonder, and I don't know, Ali Khan, if you view this as maybe him, you know, just trying to get acclimated to, you know, playing with his teammates or what, but it's almost like he's got this almost a pass first mentality right now. Do you think that's just him as a player, or do you think he's trying to maybe be a little bit more reserved and not looking for his as much, trying to have a bit more of that team first mentality, at least throughout this early stretch with the team?
You know, I was going to bring that point up, Jack. You know, that's a great point, Jackson, that, you know, me and Adam Spillane of Sports Radio 610, we sit next to each other at the games, and we were talking about this today. So whenever he's going towards the rim, it's like, I'll give you guys another analogy. Let's think about a pitcher in baseball. If you're in the playoffs and the team is, you know, kind of getting on top of you in the first inning, it's likely because you have a tell, or you're kind of tipping your pitches without knowing. And that's sometimes what Kevin Porter Jr. Does. He gets into the paint, and he's always so much about being pass first and kind of getting his teammates involved that teams are playing at those angles. They're getting deflections. They're making it harder for him to just go to his primary read. And the next step for him is to be able to get to that second or tertiary read for him to be successful. I think that's kind of where you're going to see that evolution come, when he gets more playing time, when he's playing with Christian Wood more, when he's playing with John Wall more, essentially other players on the court who can make him better, knock down those open shots. Because like you said, he's getting those potential assists. But that next step for him as a ball handler, as a decision maker, will not only come with playing time, but also will come when he understands how to read defenses, how to be able to actually attack a big who's a low man, attack different coverages.
I think to me, one of the other standouts, and I guess this is something that, you know, will hopefully even improve a little bit more with time, is, you know, you talk about how he's able to read defenses currently. And I think that transitioning from, you know, one James Harden, who is arguably one of the best, if not maybe the best player in the NBA behind maybe just LeBron James, at, you know, reading a defense and then reacting accordingly and just breaking it down possession after possession after possession, getting guys aligned in, you know, exactly how he wants them to be able to attack a defense a specific way. One of the things that I've noticed with Kevin Porter Jr. is he doesn't necessarily panic when he picks up his dribble. Like, I feel like a lot of NBA players, they pick up their dribble and they're immediately, you know, kind of maybe frantic to an extent, trying to find that outlet pass, trying to find the next guy to get the ball to. But when he drives into the paint, when he collapses the defense and he's got two or even three bodies in front of him, it's like he just knows, he's got that awareness about him that he knows if he sees multiple bodies around him, there's somebody open. And there's so many occasions where I've seen him pick up his dribble kind of in the teeth of the defense and kind of keep that pivot foot down and rotate around and find the open man for some really quality looks. And that's really kind of stood out to me so far, you know, from, again, just a lot of his passing chops have been on display. And, you know, the scoring is going to come with time. The scoring is going to come later, but the passing is undeniable and the gravity that he creates out there is incredible.
Yeah, and I'm going to take you through kind of the pick and roll that we saw. The first few positions, they kind of showed that chemistry that can possibly happen, but Steven Salas talked about postgame, it's not there yet. And I personally didn't think it was that good, but you did see flashes today. And we'll start off with that first kind of pick and roll that they had early in the game. You know, Kevin Porter came off the screen. You look at the big stepping up, and as soon as he looked at the big stepping up, he committed. He Porter threw the lob and kind of, you know, Wood dunked it down. But, you know, Porter has had that experience with the Cavs playing with Andre Drummond. And now you add Wood, who does not have to look for a bounce pass or something below his shoulders. And now Wood can rise up for an alley-oop or be led towards the ball. And that's the key here that they kind of teach these ball handlers with the alley-oop, is not just throwing it where your teammate can only get it, but also batting your teammate towards the ball. The thing I want to point out about Porter is that he's looking at that role man. That big man. If that big man steps up towards him, he knows he can toss that ball up because Wood is very athletic and can knock down his shots. The next step for him is going to be, okay, the big is committed, but there's a third defender coming over. Can I make that accurate pass to the corner so my corner three-point shooter can knock that down? I think that's going to be where he has to be able to show some flashes. And once that chemistry and that timing with Christian Wood is there, that's really going to help kind of him be successful. And that kind of goes into Silas's core offense, which is positioning and spacing. People ask all the time, why aren't they making adjustments? Why can't they do things? Well, it's really tough to be able to kind of play your offense or kind of go above your basic principles when you don't have a full healthy roster and you can't play the way you want to. The way Steven Silas wants to play is he wants to play based off of positioning and spacing. It's not just about five out. It's about maximizing the people on the floor. If you're in the corner, you're likely going to shoot the ball. If you're in the wing in Silas's offense, you're either going to catch and shoot or you're going to cut. If you're at the top of the key, you know, you're looking to help pass the ball and kind of playmake. And so there's all these different roles involved in his offense as a five-out spacer. And you can't do these things. You can't go above and beyond and make adjustments if your team is, you know, put together every single night, essentially, and kind of having to just go and roll with your basic coverages.
Yeah, the Rockets using a ridiculous amount of starting lineups. I've actually lost track. I know they just announced another new starting lineup tonight, obviously with the first game being Kevin Porter Jr. and Christian Wood playing together. So yet another new starting five for Steven Silas in this one in the Rockets' 18th straight loss. Now, really quick, I just want to say, for those of you that are hanging out, enjoying this chat with Ali Khan and myself, thank you for stopping by. We're going to be trying to do this every week to provide some insight, some breakdown on exactly what's going on with the Houston Rockets. And the cool part about this app is the interaction that we get to have with you. So we've got a couple more topics that we want to hit on, Ali Khan and I, and then we're actually going to take your questions. So kind of think about what you want to bring up. And what we'd like to do is get you guys up here, bring you up on the stage to kind of, you know, discuss and talk with us about this Rockets team. So keep that in mind as we're progressing now. We've got a couple more topics we want to hit on, and then we're going to get to that kind of Q&A session, that call and response session, where we're going to answer your questions directly. But Ali Khan, another area that I kind of want to get into, and this is something we've seen more of in this half, and I want to see how you think it relates to Christian Wood and how he's going to fit in now that he's back in the Rockets lineup. But one area that we saw a lot of in these first few games without Christian Wood post All-Star break was we saw Jayshon Tate, KJ Martin, David Nwaba even a little bit, being used as screeners for the primary ball handler, and then having Justin Patton at times situationally kind of stationed over in the corner. And I wonder if you expect that same play type to still be in effect even with Christian Wood back. Obviously, he'll still be used as the role man, for good portions of the game. But I think it's an interesting dynamic to potentially get him some good looks at some corner threes. And maybe there's a specific name for that play type, or, you know, if you could enlighten us on what that looks like and why the Rockets have been utilizing that a bit more in this half of the season.
I know a lot of you guys will kind of go back and watch the Christian Wood highlights with Kevin Porter Jr. tonight. And if you guys watch those highlights, pay attention to a play I call double dragger. It's a common play around the league where you have two screeners there with the ball handler. One of them will usually pop out to the perimeter. Another one will roll towards the rim. And so in this case, the double drag was very present tonight with the Rockets. Christian Wood would often either pop, and then you would have KJ Martin or Jayshon Tate roll, or vice versa. It kind of keeps the defense guessing. And you have two guys who are able to set those screens and kind of be multi-positional and either able to pop out and roll to the rim. I think Christian Wood can use that to either, number one, create an advantage for himself one-on-one, which we saw, or number two, attack off the closeout. He has some really nice finishes, and I think that's the biggest thing about Christian Wood that people don't really talk about is the strength of his. He has a great, great tendency to not only observe contact while in the air, but finish through it and stay in the air. And that's a skill for a big of his size to be able to do. That's why I actually talked to Draymond Green about this post game today, and I asked him kind of, what are your thoughts on him? And he said, such a skilled guy. And I think when you have guys around the league who are paying attention to you and game planning against you as the fulcrum of the offense, but you're still able to kind of attack and beat your primary defender, get towards the rim and stay and observe the contact, you are a good basketball player. And I think we saw that tonight, and I think we're going to see that moving forward. Getting Christian Wood the ball where he can be successful, allowing him to be a playmaker, allowing him to get into space where he's really successful, kind of using and contorting his body to be able to get to the rim.
And that does it for Locked On Rockets Film Room. Now, if you missed out on that, we host it on Locker Room once a week. Because of Ali Khan and I's kind of crazy schedules, we haven't been able to pick a set time to be able to do it, as well as with, you know, when the Rockets games air and that kind of stuff. So we did that when last night. It wasn't a traditional post-game recap of sorts, but, just keep. Follow along. We'll keep you posted on Twitter, both he and myself, about when we're going to be doing these. It's an exciting new opportunity to kind of provide further breakdowns and analysis for this young Rockets team, this exciting Rockets team, as we're watching them develop and grow. So hopefully you enjoyed that. Next time, try to check it out live, as we're going to be doing these live once a week. They're usually about 30 minutes long. And the really cool component of that is if you check it out live, you can also ask us questions. You can come up on the stage with us in the locker room at itself, ask us questions, discuss basketball with us. And that's the really cool element of this thing is being able to communicate with you, the listener. So definitely want to check that out. Download the Locker Room app. It's unfortunately only on iOS right now. If you're on Android, they're working on it. Hopefully they'll have one out soon, but check it out on iOS, download it, come hang out the next time we do one. But for today's episode of Locked On Rockets, that's going to do it. As always, thank you so much for listening. We look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.